I'm going to go ahead and start. JB, first service, JB told everybody I was going to picture them in their underwear. So I said, just let you guys know, my underwear camo. I got my camo on. And it's a funny thing. I had my outfit all picked out to preach, you know. Got my rock and roll cowboy jeans on. I got my Willie shirt on. It's my Willie shirt, Willie Robertson. So I was telling that to Beth Schiffler. She comes in, she says, I thought you'd be wearing a robe or something. I said, I got my Willie shirt on. And she says, oh, Willie or won't he? Man, I never even thought about that. And I said, he will. I know he will. Good thing I got my Willie shirt on. Here I am finally, after weeks of fear, nervousness, stress. Here I am. There you are. Probably going to get a little weird, a little awkward. Already did. I mean, I can stand up here, I can play bass, I can sing, I can even sing a solo, no problem. I can back away from the mic, I can play a little softer. You won't hear my mistakes. This one's attached. This one's attached. Can't back away from it. You're going to hear my mistakes. But you're also going to hear from God. I promise. Because I wouldn't be standing here speaking, public speaking, giving a message, unless I thought it was from God. And I know it's from God. Walt sent me an email and he said, you know, some people, they fear public speaking more than death itself. Thank you for the comforting words. Oh, I'm a pacer. I learned that last night because I was here last night until about 11:30, giving it to these chairs. I mean, whoo! All these blinds were up. I walked down for it, so I pulled them all down. And I thought, this is a little strange practicing, but I got to make sure I can at least talk. And I learned last night as I was talking to the chairs that I'm a pacer. So you're just going to have to follow me. Nothing I can do about it. In that same email Walt sent me, he said, hey, listen, don't worry about it. He said, people are going to hold you to a lower standard because you're not a professional like me. Yes. I'm already feeling good. Encouraging words from Walt. I have to put that in my important items place there in my email. So as I'm preparing, I'm trying to think, man, I got to talk about something I know about and incorporate it into the message. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. Well, here's what I really know about. Hunting. Fishing. Back in a trailer. Growing a beard and making boys. Here we go. You ready? Told you it was going to get awkward. Going to make for a weird sermon. As I've walked with the Lord the last couple of years, I've heard a lot of sermons on stepping outside your comfort zone. A lot of sermons, a lot of devotionals. I knew I was going to get emotional at this part. Remember Sean, the first devotional I ever heard him do at a softball game was stepping outside your comfort zone. And man, he had pages of stuff for a 3-minute devotional. All these pages, he was nervous. He was letting the Holy Spirit lead him. He knew he had to do something. He did it, man. He was nervous, I could tell. I know him. He was nervous. He gave it. He gave that devotional. Well, let me tell you, I'm not here stepping outside of my comfort zone. I'm jumping. And for a fat kid with a bum knee, thank you, Sean, I'm scared. I'm afraid it's going to hurt when I jump out of my comfort zone. But I'm standing up here because I know that when I jump, the Holy Spirit is going to catch me. I'm going to land. He's going to hold me up. It's not going to hurt. I just have to be the vehicle. I'm going to let Him use me. Comfort zone, jump out of it. Get her done. Years ago, I sat in a pew at Hagerstown Bible Church. I grew up Methodist. Big Mama, there she is again. Big Mama took us to church every Sunday. Every Sunday I was in church. Most weeks I was in Sunday school. And I'm sure they were feeding it to me. And believe it or not, I wasn't eating it. Believe it or not, I know they had to be feeding it to me. But I wasn't getting it. I don't know if it was my age, my immaturity. I don't know what it was. I just wasn't getting it. And as I grew up, moved out, me and Sean, we moved out, moved in together. Started church shopping. Well, really, I was girl shopping. Thought I could find a nice girl at church. I did. Found a preacher's daughter. Sweet. Started going to Hagerstown Bible. I got there, man, everybody was talking about being saved. Everybody. The kids, the young kids, the youth, the adults, everybody's, hey, when were you saved? When were you saved? Well, I was saved this day, this time, and here's who was there. So, well, I don't remember. I was lying. I didn't even know what it meant to be saved. I had an idea. Never knew I had to actually, like, say something, do something. They knew it. Months went on, and I kept attending there. I sat in a pew at Hagerstown Bible Church, and Pastor Carver said, listen, if you're not saved, no problem. Just repeat after me. Didn't you just say it to me? He said it to the whole church. I sat there, closed my eyes, and I said what he said. He said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died for me and my sin. My name is written in your wounds. That song we sing, we didn't sing it today, but we sing it. My name is written in your wounds. I believe that. I accept that. And I believe that you rose again for me, to save me, take me to salvation. What did I get? I got salvation, eternal life. I'll tell you what else I got here. Ephesians 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. What did I get? I got the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You got it too. If you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Here I am. Brand new owner of the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. Man, come on, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to smother it. I'm saved. I got the Holy Spirit. Oh, well. I don't want to be controlled, man. 19, 20 years old. I don't want to be controlled by anything. Not Big Mama. Not God. I just want to control myself. I was selfish. That's what I tried to do. But I had the Holy Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit do? Let's see here. I'll tell you, there's a lot we can preach on. As I prepared for this message, I thought about what Sean did on that little 3-minute devotional. Remember all them pages he had of stuff and stuff and stuff? And look at me. Oh my goodness. Look at this. I got boom. I got that. I got that. I got that one, I got that, and then last night I got that one. And man, I'm writing, and Walt tells me how to set it up, how to do a good sermon, you know, what you want. And I said, I got this, Walt. I got the appetizer, I got the meat and taters, and I got the dessert. I'm good. Got it. I love me some appetizers. Red Lobster. What were they called again? What?
Cheddar biscuits.
I can eat like a dozen of those. You know? They're awesome. Outback got the blooming onion. I mean, come on, you're starving when you go somewhere, so you get these appetizers, and you fill up on them, and you get your main course, and it's like, kind of full. Maybe I'll take it home. That's what happened. I got my appetizer. I'm going to mention the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm here. But man, I want to concentrate the meat and taters, evangelism, discipleship. Good stuff. Discipleship, man, makes you grow spiritually. That's what's going to grow a church. Got to talk about that. Start spinning my wheels. I guess I'm full. I go back to the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm searching. It's coming. It's rolling. Got all these verses. I'm like, yeah, I guess I'll just stick to the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit do for us? John chapter 14, verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. All right, got the Holy Spirit. I learned a little bit by this point. So yeah, I knew a little, and the Holy Spirit would remind me. I'm out there doing something, remind me, hey, you know what it says over here? If you want me doing that, I knew it. Over chapter 15, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Yep. I felt convicted. I knew what I was doing. I shouldn't be doing that. I was convicted. Still smothering it though. Trying not to admit that I gotta change something. Going out, partying, drinking. That's what I want to do. I know I'm sinning. Don't work that way. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. That's why I'm here. He made something known to me. What am I supposed to do? Sit on it? I've done that. I had an opportunity to preach back when Dave preached. We thought maybe he'll do first service, I'll do second. I said, I ain't ready. I ain't going to do it. I'm scared. Forget about it. I'm glad I did, because I got to hear Dave preach. The Lord used him like He's using me. Got to be willing to let the Holy Spirit control us. We're over here to Romans. This is good stuff. Get it in your gut stuff right here. Romans 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Got it. If you don't have the Spirit, you ain't saved. Because when you get saved, you get the Spirit, right? If you don't have the Spirit, you ain't saved. Get saved. Let the Holy Spirit control you. Let me tell you how this happened for me. More her story than mine, but it becomes our story. August 28th, 2005. Lauren, my wife, sitting there in a cool bandana, was involved in a horrific motorcycle accident. She was thrown 175 feet. From that curtain to that door is about 65 feet. 175 feet. Broke her femur, her wrist, had some road rash. She was alive. Her boyfriend at the time, Scott, was not. He impacted the Jeep and was killed. August 28th, 8:28, about 8:20 in the evening. I heard about this the next day, and I thought, ooh, I knew him. I mean, we were going out, we were partying, drinking, getting drunk. I knew who she was. I knew who Scott was. I thought, man, that girl got to be messed up. She got to be. Messed up in the head. She's messed up physically. I felt bad for her, you know. Fast forward to Thanksgiving that year. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, it's a big party day, man. Everybody's home from college. You want to see your friends. You go out. What do? You get drunk. Party. Look for sin. Does that look right? I don't know how it looks. Bandana's cool, isn't it? Thanks, Dan. So we're out, me and my posse. Sean, he's part of my posse. You know who else is part of my posse? Andrew Leisure. A lot of you know him. Where's he at right now? He's in Indiana, training to be a preacher. Yes! Man, that's awesome. So we got Burhan Station. I walk in, crutches leaning up against the table, leg up on a chair and a brace. There she was. First time I'd seen her. And I remember that burning in my head. I remember seeing her sitting there thinking, I wonder how she's doing. I should go ask her. Nah, I don't want to know. Don't really want to have to deal with the response. Well, she heals up. Next thing you know, every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, we're in the same place. Always. Eclipse on Saturday, Creekside on Friday, Burhan's on Thursday. Every week. We start hanging out, drinking, dancing. I'm like, oh, no. I don't want to get involved with her. She's messed up in the head. Listen, she got to be, man. She lost her boyfriend in a motorcycle accident. Did she survive? How's she not messed up in the head? Huh? I don't want to deal with that baggage. You know what she did? She invited us to church. Saturday night, we're in the bar. We're dancing. She invites me and Andrew to church. Well, we went. Heck yeah, I mean, I went. I didn't want anything to do with her, but I couldn't resist. Ugh. Especially when she invites me to church, I found my church girl in a bar. Come on, man. And I know that I'm not the only one I met in a bar. So we show up to church, not just any church, Crossroads Church. We show up. There's Lauren. Up on the worship team. Leading the church in worship. Next thing you know, I'm on the worship team. Leading the church in worship. We're going out Saturday night. We're getting drunk. By this time, we're an item. We're living together, sleeping together, getting drunk. And Sunday morning, we're up on the worship team. Does that work? Does that work? That don't work. Nope. And guess what? The Holy Spirit. Can't deny it now. We both got it. We're both feeling it. Man, we're feeling convicted. I thought, man, I got to do something. We got to let the Holy Spirit control our lives. We stepped down from the worship team. That's what we did. All right, we'll give you control. We'll step down. We're still drinking, sleeping together, living together. But we stepped down from the worship team. That's good enough, right? Nah. I remember laying in bed, looking through my Bible, trying to find something. Oh, it's okay if we live together. And I remember seeing a verse about how a man and a woman should not stay under the same roof. I'm in an apartment complex. Same roof, there's women everywhere. It's okay. You will try to make it work. You can't. The Holy Spirit is in you if you're saved. You can't make it work. Because right here, remember, when you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You read this. What's the Holy Spirit do? Reminds you of what it says. Darn it. You know what we did? We said, okay. Quit sleeping together. Quit living together. For 10 months. 10 months. Listen, we were engaged for 6 months before we were married. We stopped doing all that before we were even engaged. We said, fine, we're going to give it up. And we did. Next thing you know, we're married. Awesome. I love being married. Love my wife. Wouldn't have it any other way. I might not show her sometimes, but I love her to death. I do. Married in June, pregnant in December. I love my wife. It's the making boys part. So we're getting ready to have a little baby boy. Lauren goes into labor on August 27th, 2008. She's in labor for 26 hours. 26 hours she's in labor, and then she has to have an emergency C-section. Crushed her. She wanted to have natural birth. She knew for the safety of Court and her, she had to have the emergency C-section. About to blow your mind. God engineers coincidence. Court was born on 8/28. At 8:25 p.m., 3 years, I'm going to say to the minute, she lost Scott in a motorcycle accident. Come on now. I know that's a blessing. We yielded to the Holy Spirit. We're being blessed. We got a little boy. We're growing spiritually. I started thinking, I know it says something in the Bible about God uses situations for good and all this stuff. I Googled it and I know where it said it. Wouldn't you know? Romans, verse 8. Sorry, chapter 8, verse 28. 8:28. What a number. 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We knew we were called for something. Even if it's just living a Christ-like life. We're called to do that. We got the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're doing. We're trying to do it. Look at what God did through this accident. Man, it's horrific, yes, but look at what He's done. Look how He's blessed us, blessed her. For letting the Holy Spirit control her life. How many people are here right now because she invited them or a result of her inviting them? Little baby can't raise her hand. I know there's... You can't know Lauren without her inviting you to church. You can't do it. How many people are here today because somebody invited them to church? Look at that. Imagine if... Imagine if you didn't get that invite. Yeah, you might end up somewhere. But you're here now. You're at a church, you get the expository preaching of the Word. That means, listen, you're coming here, you're getting the Word. You're not getting a fancy message. I'm not good at it like Walt is. I'm not a professional. You come here, we're going to preach the Bible. That's what it says to do in the book. Preach the Word of God. You're going to get it. Let me ask you something. This is something good to write down for your small groups. Are you letting the Holy Spirit control you? Give some instances that you have let the Holy Spirit control you. Then give some that you haven't. I know for me, there's more times I haven't let the Holy Spirit control me than have. This wasn't going to be one of them. Mm-mm. Nope. In a rough couple weeks, but submitting to the Holy Spirit so He can use me. Are you doing the same? Listen. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. If you're not saved, you can't let the Spirit control you. Listen, you become saved by accepting a gift. How easy is that? You accept a gift. That's it. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good works. Listen, the best person that ever lived was perfect. They crucified him. You're not even close to that. The best person you know, your grandmother. Best person you know, whoever it may be. They're good. But they cannot earn their way to heaven. Can't do it. It's a lot easier than that. Accept the gift. Jesus died for it. Rose again. Yes! Awesome. All I got to do is take it. But when you take it, you're getting something. You're getting the Holy Spirit. It's going to teach you. It's going to remind you. It's going to convict you. It's going to change your life. I'm not hung over somewhere this morning. I'm not doing that. I'm here giving a message to a church, letting God use me. Man, if I didn't let the Holy Spirit control me, I wouldn't be here. Where should you be right now? Maybe you should be here, maybe not. Maybe there's something poking at you, prodding at you. I'll tell you what it is, the Holy Spirit. Take a chance. Jump outside your comfort zone. Take a chance on it. You don't know something you might say to somebody. Listen, you can't save anybody. You can't do it. You can invite somebody to church. She's good at that. I decided that it must be pre-evangelism. Because evangelism is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our lives. Okay, but also, does that have to be done by preaching? Verbally? No. Man, if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're living your life Christ-like. You're trying to follow the book. And people are going to notice that. Dan, this is where I was preaching to you because I thought about you. I remember one week, must have been a small group, he said something about he got a little irritated at work with some co-workers. Remember he said that? And he went back and apologized. Asking for forgiveness. What your co-workers going to think? You walk up to somebody at Conway. You know, you yelled at him on the radio or something. You walk up and say, hey, man, listen, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? You're nuts. What? I don't care. But they go away. They drive away in their Hostler. And they're going to be thinking, that was weird. Why did he really say that? They're going to see it in our lives. We got to show it. You know, I wanted this to be about discipleship and everything else. Let's get the Holy Spirit down. We got to realize if you are saved, you've got the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, get it. Look. It's awesome. It's camo, I know. Sean's got one. Look. Take some time. Take a month. Take 3 months out of your life. Read the book. If you're not saved, read it. Make a decision. Because the worst thing you can do is not make a decision. Satan's favorite day is tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll read it tomorrow. I'll make a decision tomorrow. Guess what? Scott didn't have it tomorrow. I don't know if he was saved or not. But you don't know when your tomorrow's end. Read the book. I'm fired up. I don't know why. I'm fired up. It's easy, man. When you read the book, you're going to get it. Not everybody's going to get it. There's somebody here sitting here right now. I got a message. This is it. Somebody's got to read this book. Other people, they have to realize they got the Holy Spirit. Let's do something. Man, we got the Holy Spirit. We're going to change the world. That's how you change the world. Let it control you. Let it flow out to the community. You know, me and Andrew, we started coming to Crossroads. Got a sense that we were saved. But man, we got a sense of community. Never felt that before. It's awesome. I still feel it. I've never been in a church where I feel like your family. God, do I feel like that? That's the way it should be. And we need to spread that to the community, our community. It's not here at church. Let's do it. What do you say? Let's do it. How are we going to do it? Let the Holy Spirit control you. If you ain't got it, get it. Work it out. I can look back. You know, I had the Holy Spirit when I was saved, and I couldn't tell you at that time I had the Holy Spirit. I had it. But I can look from where I'm at right now. I can look back from where I was to where I am. Ain't nothing going to do that with the Holy Spirit, trust me. Ain't nothing going to do that. It's going to transform your life. I'm standing here today as living proof. It's going to transform your life. So what can we do? Listen. I'm sure we've all had opportunities to invite somebody to church. She don't let it pass. A lot of us do. You feel like inviting somebody to church? Maybe that's the Holy Spirit. You know what? What's the big deal? Okay. This might be the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure. You know what? Hey, you want to come to church? What if they show up? You can't save anybody, but you can get them here. I could take Sean to Hagerstown Ford right now. And man, I want to give him that truck. I really do. F-250 Power Stroke, four-wheel drive, crew cab. Man, I want to give it to him. I can't. It ain't mine. It's not mine to give to him. You feel like that? Man, this idiot. I want to give him salvation. Can't they see it? You can't give it. But you can bring him here. And he can give it. It's his to give. Not yours to give. All you have to do is bring them. We'll do the evangelizing. Then we'll do the discipleship. Grow the church. Invite somebody to church. Make it a point this week at your job. One person. Invite one person to church. It don't have to be led by the Holy Spirit. But don't you dare ignore the Holy Spirit if he's leading you to invite somebody to church. He might be leading you to lead somebody to Christ. Right there, wherever you're at, not here. He could be doing that. The Holy Spirit. Ooh. Don't deny it. You got it. Invite somebody to church. Not next week, but the following week, we're having baptisms. Church membership. There's four or five names on the list. What if you invite somebody to church? They come next week. They give their life to Christ. By Tuesday, they're reading the Bible. They're fired up. They got the Holy Spirit. They're already letting the Holy Spirit control them. And they say, they call up here and say, hey, I want to be baptized. Add one to the list. Add two to the list. Listen, we can triple that list. I don't care. I'll stay all day. If we're baptizing people, I'll stay all day long. Man, that's how awesome would that be? You want to see revival? Don't you? Hey, we all want to see revival. How are we going to do that? Let the Holy Spirit control your life. That's what we're going to do. Now we're going to pray. Lord, I pray this week that you give us the power. We have the power. We have the power. Lord, I pray that we submit and let the Holy Spirit control us. In any situation, in every situation, even as simple as inviting somebody to church. Lord, I pray right now you give us that power. Thank you for using me. Lord, I pray that you use every one of these people in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.